Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. And with me in the studio today is one of the co-hosts of the broadcast, Dr. Greg Huffman, who serves on the pastoral team at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And Pastor Greg, we have been having a delightful conversation together.
Yes, we have.
About really one of the greatest sermons ever preached, if not the greatest sermon. And certainly the greatest sermon in our New Testament. And it's the sermon that Jesus preached that we know as the Sermon on the Mount.
And when you consider the fact that he started that sermon with a statement concerning the blessedness or the acceptance that we have with God, then that really begins to give each one of us a sense of peace. We don't have to worry about our self-image because we're already accepted in the Beloved, and it's not a result of what we do or how we were born or anything about our past. It's a statement concerning the present condition and association that we have with our Heavenly Father.
You know, so many people, and I think I probably would fall into this category as well, so many people come to church week after week to hear something from God, and it's like they get another brick in their wagon that they've got to carry around all week. And they come back the next week and they get another brick and another brick and another brick. And pretty soon the wagon is to the point of breaking.
And sad to say, if we're pulling that wagon and ever start to go downhill, it runs over us.
It crushes us.
Exactly.
And really what Jesus is doing here is he's not telling us things that we have to do in order to be approved by God.
Right.
And that's really kind of where a lot of people live. We basically live our life seeking for God's approval, which is something that he's already given to us.
Exactly. And as we were talking this last time about just a renewed mindset, and that's something that God enables us to have through studying his word and
right.
meditating on his word and just then reflecting the lifestyle of Christ in our own lives. That's an encouraging thing, but we were just finishing up the last broadcast talking about, well, what if you've already blown it? Where do we go from here?
And that's a great question because actually I think that's probably where most of us live.
Right.
You know, we know that we're accepted in the Beloved. We know that blessedness is not just how we feel about life or what we're experiencing in life. It's our standing before God.
Mm-hmm.
And like we talked about, it starts with a renewed mind. We have to stop thinking the way we normally think.
Stinking thinking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we've got to let God reverse that. And Psalm 1 tells us how that happens. How does a man who is accepted by God think? Well, he avoids certain things. He embraces another set of things. He delights in the law of the Lord. And those two things, what he avoids and what he embraces, produce an effect in his life so that he's like a tree.
Right.
And it produces fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither. And it prospers because it's planted by the water of the word.
And it's interesting to note that last phrase, fruit in its season. There are some seasons that we're not going to be producing fruit because we have to wait for God to be doing the inner work.
Yeah, there's pruning that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
There's inner growth. Sometimes the fruit is different from season to season.
Right.
It looks different when you're single and 16 than it does when you're single and 40.
Right.
It looks different when you're married with no children and then you're married with four children. The fruit looks different when you're living at home with four small children under five than you are with four grown children who are out serving the Lord.
Exactly.
It's a different
right.
season of life,
right.
and it's different fruit that is being produced externally, but it's all coming from that inner strength and that inner assurance that you get from being approved by God and living in his word, being nourished up in his word.
And the fact that it's fruit that God is developing kind of gives me the idea that it's not just for the tree's benefit, but it's for somebody else's benefit that could
right.
enjoy the fruit.
Yeah, I'm not working to produce the fruit.
Right.
The fruit is being produced by what I value
right.
and what I delight in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you asked the question a minute ago, which I think is really insightful, and I want to go there in this broadcast. What do I do to get this kind of a mind? And the answer to that is you've got to let the Lord regenerate your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're already a regenerated person, what do I do if I've already blown it? What if I did stand in the way of sinners?
Sure. You know,
what if I did listen to the counsel of the ungodly? What if the values and the morals of a scorner actually have been my values and morals? how do I become a blessed person? Am I just going to be a second-class citizen the rest of my Christian life? Am I just going to be one of those people that God always kind of regrets saving?
And, of course, that's exactly what Satan tells every person who's done that, because he's the accuser of the brethren. You know, when he first talks to you about sin, he tells you it's not all that bad, and everybody's doing it, and how much fun it would be. And as soon as you do it, then he tells you how raunchy you
are
and how rotten you are, and you can never be anything, and God couldn't possibly love you.
And so that really is where I think maybe a lot of us live, particularly when we come to the idea of being people of whom God approves, and we know our own lives.
And we say, well, positionally that may be true, but let me tell you about my life.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, I don't even approve of myself. How can God approve of me?
Right.
And that's really where a lot of us live. I mean, a lot of believers, including people in ministry, we just live our lives and we know our inner hearts, we know our inner souls, we know the sins that go on in our life that thankfully God covers, but we just kind of say to ourselves, Lord, we can never really fully enjoy your favor. And there is a psalm where this word shows up again, and it's in Psalm 32. Maybe you could read the first couple of verses of that, and then we'll talk a little bit about how God takes a man and regenerates and refreshes him so that he's back on the path of full assurance and confidence of his true standing before God.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Now, Psalm 32 was written by David, and right at the top of some Bibles, right underneath the heading that says Psalm 32, sometimes there's a statement. And it's a very ancient statement. I actually think it's part of the biblical text. But it says a psalm of David, and then it says the word maskil, which is the Hebrew word for a contemplation or a meditation. In other words, remember in Psalm 1, the man who would be like a tree, the blessed man, is somebody who meditates carefully on God's word.
Right.
Well, this is a meditation. Psalm 32 is one of those meditations. And it was written by a man about a year after he had committed a horrific atrocity. And you'll remember the man David. You remember the atrocity. When we think of David, we think of David and Goliath and David and Bathsheba.
Right.
And it's the second event that's the background to this psalm. And, of course, you remember the story of how David sinned a great sin against the Lord. And really, if you stop and think about the Ten Commandments, he broke just about all of them in his sin with Bathsheba.
Yeah.
And he may have initially fell into temptation, but he certainly went on to sin with a high hand against God. It was with foresight and malice in his heart.
And trying to cover it up the whole way.
And trying to cover it up. I mean, here's a Hittite who is more righteous than David.
Right.
I mean, he comes back and refuses to go into his wife, and David then tries to get him drunk. And even drunk, this man is more righteous than David.
Right.
And then David finally sends a false message that costs this man his life and marries Bathsheba and covers it up. And 9 months later, a child is born. And that's when God chooses to come. Now, I want to say all that because how do you think David felt during that whole time?
Well, Psalm 51 says that he was miserable and just so many things, even physically, he could not overcome, because the Bible goes on to say that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper.
Here's how he described it in verse 3 of Psalm 32. When I was silent about my sin, that's the whole idea that you're talking about, about covering. When I was silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My vitality, that's my inner strength, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I mean, here is a man who for an entire year had to do all of the external activities religiously that were expected of him as the king. He had to go to the tabernacle on that day. He had to offer the sacrifices. He had to pour out the libations. And he's sitting there, and for an entire year, he says, it was like my entire inner man was broken and crushed. And, you know, I wonder how many of us live that way.
And he had the perfect illustration when Nathan the prophet came and said, hey, you're the man. God knows what you've done. You've tried to cover it for a year, God knows what you've done. Now what are you going to do about it?
And David didn't spend a lot of time trying to avoid the consequences.
Not
remember,
at all.
The child died. But here's the big lesson. If you keep reading, remember you said we didn't get far enough in the psalm. We quit in verse 4.
Right.
Well, look at verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions. There's that word again. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity. That's the twistedness, the vileness
right.
of my sin. Think about what he's talking about here. He's talking about the sin of adultery. He's talking about the sin of lust. He's talking about the sin of murder. He's talking about coveting his neighbor's wife and taking his neighbor's life and bearing false witness against his neighbor. I mean, you start thinking about just the horrific twistedness of all of that. And David says, now I want you to know something. None of that was imputed to me.
And that's amazing, because when you compare David's sins with King Saul's sins, Saul's were so minute, but yet he would never confess.
Exactly. That's the difference. When God came knocking, one man kept saying, what are you talking about? And the other man said, against you and you only have I sinned.
Yeah, what a truth that is for us today.
Oh, and the minute David did that, he said, when I confessed, you forgave the iniquity. The word forgive literally means to lift up and take away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here is the man who for an entire year was burdened down with the weight of his guilt. And he said, I confessed and God took it. That's the secret to being blessed. And you know what? That's available to anybody today.
Exactly. So it's not a psychosomatic illness.
No.
It's a spiritual somatic illness that God says there's a cure for. It's called confession and forsaking.
Yeah. And the minute you confess, God forgives.
Right.
And he lifts up that guilt. And what you get in its place, because he doesn't just take it away, he actually puts something else in its place. He imputes to you his righteousness and his obedience. The only person who never lusted on the planet was Jesus Christ.
Mm.
You get that obedience imputed to you. The only person who never was angry and who never cursed his brother and who never acted in an ungodly way was Jesus Christ. And you get all of that righteousness imputed to you. Wow. And all of a sudden you're sitting there going, I'm blessed. And that's
Amen.
Really the message of all of this.
That's it.
Now, what happens to that person next? Now that he's back on the path, what does a blessed man do? And that's what we're going to talk about in the next broadcast. But it'll have to be then, because we're all out of time in this one. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you.